I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You ready for this?
Oh, I'm very ready.
I'm so excited. Okay, ready?
You ready?
Three, two, one.
Now, here's a look at what's sunny across Central Florida on 105.9 Sunny FM. Here's your host, Michael Rafferty.
There have been so many advances in the way we communicate with each other, but the one part of that that always seems to be lacking is listening. And joining us by phone to help us with that is listening expert and Rollins College communications professor, Rick Bombeljay. Rick, thanks for being on Sunny Across Central Florida.
Well, thank you for inviting me, Michael.
Listening is a skill. I know in communication that we always think about sending out messages and talking to people, and we always kind of disregard the listening part, but that's an important part of communication, isn't it?
Well, it's huge. It's the one thing we do more in our life than any other activity except to breathe. We listen. Unfortunately, in formal education, not too much attention is paid to it in terms of coursework or, you know, really drilling down to build a knowledge base. So the speaking side of communication, as well as writing and reading, get more airplay, if you will, while in fact we listen more than we do any of the other three.
Well, how can one become a better listener?
Well, for me, it all begins with awareness, and that's how my journey began over 30 years ago. I did not pick this topic. It picked me in life mistakes. I realized I was a lousy listener.
How did you realize that, Rick?
Well, my wife told me.
Well, that's the best way to find out.
And I also had problems on the job, and I could see that, you know, I had some real issues here. And so that really led me to search. And it continues to this day.
Ah, the never-ending search to listen well. You're a professor at Rollins College. How long have you been a professor?
Well, I've been a full-time professor for a little over 20 years. I've been at Rollins for 45.
Okay.
You believe it.
I do believe.
Through twists and turns without any well-defined design plan, I found myself being invited to create a listening course. And one thing led to another, and today that's what I do full time. I teach courses on listening and leadership.
Do you find that today's students have more trouble with listening than, say, 30 years ago when you were doing this?
Well, you know, technology is front and center, and we live in a very fast-paced, hectic world. And so I think the challenges compound today. What I've realized, though, is that, and this is an elective course, by the way, at Rollins, it's not mandatory. And so those who come, typically it takes about a session, maybe two, to really have the light bulb go on that, wow, this is something that I can really benefit from in all areas of my life. So I think it's just raising the awareness, first of all, that's the key in starting the process of being a better listener. And then building knowledge and actually doing it with skills and always the attitude of willingness and commitment to listen.
Is it your feeling that with all the advances in communications that we have, and we have Twitter, we have texting, we have cell phones, have we become better or worse listeners in the past 20 years?
That's a great question, and it's a tough one to answer. And I think it's, how do you use the technology to listen, or does it get in the way? So I think there are opportunities that we can use and know when to use it and when not to use it. Unfortunately, automatic defaults in our behavior kind of get in the way out of habit, and that creates some issues.
Well, what is a key to effective listening?
For me, it's, if I had to give one primary nugget, if you would, it would be to shift the way that we listen to hear, S-I-E-R, and there's an asterisk in the end of it. And SEER is a way of framing listening. It's a human behavior, and it's complex and it's natural, though. We've been doing it since we were born. And then five things come in rapid order, or could come in rapid order. We sense it. That means we hear it, we see it, we taste, we touch, we smell. We then earn the right to go to the next step, which is interpret or understand what it is we're sensing. Too many times, the ear gets all the play in listening. When we have the other four senses, many of us, to be able to take advantage of, then we can interpret. What do we understand? What do we comprehend? We ask questions. We repeat back. We do all those kinds of things that probably active listening. Well, that's in the interpretation stage. Then you've earned the right to evaluate. That's the E in SEER. You can make a judgment. And this is where the issues really creep up in life, is that many people don't spend a lot of time or don't care about the I, interpreting, especially if they have strong beliefs about things. They begin to take in the message and they immediately go to E, evaluate. The R is respond, what they say, what they show, versus react, which is instinctive, it's emotional, it's unbridled, whereas there's a little bit of thought given intentionally when I respond. And then at the end, I put an asterisk, which is memory. If it's important for us to remember, like I'm remembering your first name, Michael, then it goes into our real listening muscle, which is our brain, of course. So that's how I view listening in this five-part sequence that happens in a nanosecond. And if you can learn it, which it's fairly easy to learn, but repeat it and embrace it in your life, amazing things happen.
We are approaching an election next year, and it's already, you know, a hot topic, and it's already a lot of conversation is happening with that. And I feel like everyone's talking, but no one's really listening because we have our points we want to get across, our talking points, if you will. How can we be more effective talking with people about politics, for instance? Because that's a hot button issue. Everybody's emotional about politics. How can we cut through the emotion to get to the facts?
Yes, it's such a triggered topic, politics. People have such strong emotions, and their political beliefs may be long-term as far as developing these. And so when they come together and bring voice, emotions can kick in. And I think the critical key is, if we go back to SEER, it's spend some time on the I. In other words, why in the world am I having this conversation in the first place? Is it simply to give my opinion to somebody else and not care what they have to say back to me? If that's all it is, we might as well make a recording of our message and they can do the same and the recorders can talk to the recorders because nothing happens. But there are five purposes of communication, five and only five. And think about a castle with a moat around it. And outside of the castle, there are two purposes of communication. One is information, where you're informing people. Another one is entertainment, where you're communicating for pleasure. But then we go inside of the castle, and we've got two inside the castle. One is feeling communication, where you're checking how a person feels, or they're emoting, if you will. And then there's a second one, which is persuasive communication or influencing. And then there's a guard at the castle. And this is the fifth purpose of communication, which is social communication. Some people call it the small talk of life. But it's critical because it's relationship building. So as it relates to politics, here's the key, is are you conversing with me to try to persuade me to change my opinion or modify my viewpoint? Or are you doing this to inform so that I can perhaps have an expansion of what I already think about something? Knowing what the purpose is critical from a listening standpoint, and you can start to detect, based upon a message that's being sent to you, what type of communication that person is sending. If we watch TV or the news shows, you can see how the purposes cross very quickly, and folks aren't responding, they're reacting. One person to another, they're just trying to get their opinions, and nothing productive really happens in that time frame. Imagine if we set a different standard for political listening, and we said, you know, the real key is understanding. I may not agree with you, but I want to understand completely what your point of view is so that I can, for myself, determine, is there anything that I think is important to modify?
As a listener, is it important to reassure the person who's talking to you that you're getting their thoughts by maybe repeating it back to them when you give your answer?
Well, that's a great way to be able to show them that you've got the message, and that's a part of the I and seer interpreting. I'm with you. I understand, right? It's not saying I agree or I'm changing my viewpoint. It's respectfully helping people to understand that you've got it. And you can do that, I think, nonverbally as well. If there's a sincerity, there's a vibration that's picked up from one person to another when they detect that you're with me. Have you ever had a situation where it's the opposite, where you know somebody's not with you?
Frequently.
Absolutely. And you can feel that kind of in your mid-chest, if you will.
Well, how can we do that? Because with politics, a lot of the conversations you might find yourself in are emotionally charged. How can you, as a listener, not downplay the emotion, but sort of take the emotion out of the conversation or just bring it down a notch?
Yeah, great point. I think the bringing it down a notch to me is understanding what your triggers are, know what your triggers are right up front, and then being able to not only know what they are, but reflect why emotion comes into these. It takes a little bit of thought. You know, what brings me to this point where I can almost instantly get a charge based upon this word or this phrase? What's behind this? And then working at, and we go back to the R and seer, working at responding appropriately versus just reacting. You can take those three simple steps of, again, know your triggers, reflect on why they make you emotional, and then respond appropriately. It brings, at least for yourself, it brings your part of the conversation down and could model the way with others.
Can a person actively practice listening?
Moment by moment, if there's a willingness.
Because I think that is a lost art because of all the quick ways we communicate. And a lot of our communications nowadays are not face-to-face.
Yeah, and I put that in the same category as well. If there's a response that could come out of it, like a tweet or a text or email, it's the same thing. What am I sensing, in this case, reading? Am I understanding what this is? And then am I evaluating appropriately? Now, what's my response back? How many times have you heard about folks, or maybe even yourself? I know I've been victim of it, of wanting to bang out a response to a text, for example, that had a charge to it. And if I sent it immediately, I knew that that was just going to put gasoline on the fire. And so part of it is inserting what I call the golden pause between each of the stages. Sense golden pause, I golden pause, E golden pause, R golden pause, to be able to be mindful with your communication.
So the responsibility of effective communication is not just on the person talking, but it may be even more on the person who is listening.
Yeah, I have a couple of strategies, actually five of them, that actually are on top of the base of seer. And one of them is take 100% responsibility as the listener. And some folks say, yeah, but what about the other person? I can't control the other person. I can only control me. And so if I take 100% responsibility when I'm catching the message, the likelihood of me really getting it goes up. And correspondingly, when I take 100% responsibility for sending the message, and I call that the R in SEER, the likelihood of it sticking in somebody else's mind goes up as well. But it's on me. That's all I can control.
Well, I think we found out that communication isn't just simply opening your mouth and saying stuff. I think you have to figure out what you're going to say, say it in an effective way, and think about the person who's listening to it. Are you getting through to them on the way they hear it? And then as a listener, and maybe asking questions along the way or repeating back what you've just heard to them to make sure you understand what you just heard. So it's a two-way street of responsibility here, isn't there, Professor?
Oh, it's huge. It's huge. But again, I put the responsibility on the person who's actually in the center of the communication. I can't control the other person. I can only control me.
Well, that's usually the case of everything, right? Self-responsibility.
Absolutely.
All right. I think we learned a lot here. And just because somebody's maybe ranting at you, you can control that, but the way you respond to it or the way you listen to it. See, that makes me feel better now, Professor, because, you know, as we come into this election season, it's only going to get more emotional and more intense. And I think having the ability to control your side of the conversation with your own self will help us immensely.
Yeah, the old adage that he or she who angers you controls you, that we can put that to rest if we're deeply listening and practicing now searing.
I think you gave us a lot of things to think about. If we were listening, if you weren't, go back and listen to it again on the website. All right, so do you think, Professor, that we're going to succeed in this? Next year's just going to be amazing as far as communication or the lack of. What do you think is going to happen next year as far as that? Do you think we're going to make it with this communication, or is it going to get worse?
Well, I think that we have a wonderful opportunity with a little bit of knowledge to observe how frequently these things are abused. But more importantly, we're going to be able to bring it back to ourselves, if we choose to be able to ensure that our sending and receiving is intentional and adding value.
Well, a lot to think about and a lot to practice. The responsibility usually falls on us. You know, self-responsibility. If you want to get something done, you got to do it yourself. If you want to get the message across, maybe you're not listening to it right.
That's the bottom line.
Oh, all right. Well, Rick Bommeljay, thank you so much for being on Sunny Across Central Florida.
Thank you, Michael.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.